Okay. Got some rabble rousers in the crowd there. All right. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, everybody. When Sonny talked to me, he was wanting to know what theme was for today. So I told him, Journey with Jesus. And that was off the top of my head. It actually turned out to be pretty good. And the music was great, really great. I'm going to go with what Pete told me to say in the beginning. Letting the Holy Spirit lead this one. All right. I came to find the value of the practice of walking the labyrinth quite a few years ago when I was living in New Orleans with Pete and the kids were really young. I was working in an Episcopal church, writing Sunday school curriculum for them. And it was quite a big church. So it was a busy, busy place, and as churches go, you know, there's politics everywhere. And we are God's people, but we are certainly in no way flawless. So perhaps it was the frenetic pace of life once Pete and I were working and raising kids, both of us. I'm sure, too, that my inner life was pretty interrupted. Maybe you guys can relate to some of that at some point in your lives. And I long for moments of stillness. Just take me away. Calgon, take me away. Since I was working in the church, after a couple of years, they offered to send me and another colleague to the Canuga Conference Center in, I think it's North Carolina. It's been a long time since I've been there, but it's a beautiful, beautiful place. Does that sound right? Close enough. And they had different week-long retreats you could do, and they were anything from get really excited about writing Sunday school curriculum and teaching Sunday school, which seemed like it was right up my alley, to something that some friends guided me to, which was more of a spiritual retreat refresher. And I think that's what I really needed, and they thought even if I didn't. So that was really good, really good for me. So I signed up with my friend for the spiritual refresher, and we were supposed to write in our journals, walk this alien thing called the labyrinth, which I figured was the same thing I'd learned about in ancient history. Those mazes, you know, like the maze in Crete. We were supposed to walk it as individuals and in groups. We were we had a keynote speaker who was talking about Dante's Inferno, of all things, and another keynote speaker who was talking about Jungian philosophy and how all of that met together in our Christian life. So the retreat center gave me an opportunity to meet people of faith from churches all over the Southeast. And here's what I remember the most. My first experience seeing the labyrinth. This was a large, large white canvas, sailcloth canvas. And it fit almost the entire gymnasium floor. And on it was painted the outline of a path with a center and a lot of loops, a winding path. It's called an 11-circuit path. It's copied from the one made of stone on the floor of Chartres Cathedral in France in the Middle Ages. Pilgrims used that as a way to get closer to Jesus, especially if they couldn't walk all the way to Jerusalem. A lot of people couldn't do that. they actually walked this instead. Some of you may have heard of the Via Dolorosa in Spain. Maybe somebody here has walked it. I've never myself, but the road is another pilgrimage. It's another way for folks to walk that have been doing this for centuries, learning the way of Jesus, taking their wounds, whether they're injuries physically or emotionally, inner wounds, and walking with new comrades as well as folks you might want to do that with, that you take with you along the way of the cross. In the same way, if you couldn't take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, you'd walk the Via Dolorosa or walk the labyrinth in this cathedral in France. So when I saw this canvas labyrinth stretched out across the floor, I was astonished at its largeness and its artistry. It was kind of almost magnetic in a deep, sort of wild way. My companion was the one, though, that noticed right off the bat that there was only one way in and the same way out. Thank goodness Stephanie told me this before I tried to walk it, or I would have been lost in that thing for a good long time. So we were instructed to silently walk the labyrinth, and we could take a faith focus or a question into the labyrinth, maybe something that had been on our hearts, and take it to God. Or just use it as a way to slow down some busy day and be open to God's voice. MJ has some images of the labyrinth that I'm going to ask her to help hand out. And I want you guys to just take a look at this. How many of you guys have walked the labyrinth? How many of you guys have seen one here in Richmond?
Does everyone know where it is?
Sure. The ones that you've seen in Richmond, where have you seen those?
The one off of the Laverne Avenue, on the lakeside area, it's Bird Park.
Okay. There's one next to Union Seminary. It's actually sitting on... Is that the one you're talking about? It's off of Brook Road. It's bounded by Brook Road and Loxley. And it's in that park where people walk a big track. It's a community park. But in that track area just inside... All right, MJ. Is a labyrinth that has been laid out in... like a really grainy, fine pebble and almost clay or something. So the path is laid out that way. Does everybody's got one now? This is how we were instructed to walk it, because most of us had never walked one before and we didn't really know what to do with it. On the way in, we release the daily troubles and all the busyness as we walk the path. So it's releasing time. It's a winding lane taking us straight, then turning back on itself. And it is a kind of unloading time, too. So we could silently pray and just be with God in that on that walking time, on that path. When you get to the center, it's a place to pause and receive. In the labyrinth we were walking, the center was decorated as the outline of the rose window of Chartres Cathedral, which is kind of what you've got there. And each pilgrim could just sit or stand if you want to, depending on how many people are walking the labyrinth the time that you're doing it. You could sit in one of the rose petals if you wanted to. You could sit in the center. You could stand. You could stay for a short time, or you could have, you know, spend a half an hour, or bring your journal if you wanted to, if nobody else would care. So being still and knowing God is the point there. And then on the way out, we return, just like we do when we leave church. We return, going forth to serve the Lord with gladness and singleness of heart. And sometimes we receive something that we can kind of put into words from that walk. Sometimes you can kind of put your finger right on it and go, oh yeah, that's what that message is that God's telling me. Sometimes it's guidance. Sometimes it's comfort. Sometimes it's a sense of mooring. Sometimes it's time to cry. Sometimes it's a real joyful experience. And sometimes there's no apparent message right then and there. But always, we trust that we've been blessed with His presence and His continued working in our lives and in our hearts with whatever is going on. I found that walking the tight curves of the path on the labyrinth, you see those, you take your finger and kind of follow the path in, and it loops, and then loops again, and then loops again. There's a lot of loops in there. And it seems like I had to slow down a lot on those loops, more than I would have expected. Some people go in and they just know that they got to slow down right away. Other people like me get in there and just start using my usual walking pace. And by the time I get to that loop, I'm about to, whoa, I'm taking the curve a little too fast. I had a really good mentor, someone wise, who pointed out that the road, that path, was a metaphor for our lives, and that perhaps the transitions or the curves were life's curves, and they were hard for me. And I might need to slow down on those curves a little bit more. I've found that to be true these days with launching two young adults from the nest. I was talking to a couple of friends last week after the service about the ups and downs of those emotions. And slowing down. I've also found that just walking the labyrinth helped me quiet my life in times of stress, perhaps because I went in with the intention of listening, not telling. Or maybe I went in telling and I came out listening. I don't know. One day, I was walking the labyrinth with Stephanie, my friend, that week, each on our own journey, one ahead of the other. And a man was there with his partner. They had already been on there. They were walking. At first, I was like, oh, shucks, I want this labyrinth to myself, you know? We'd gone at night. It was like 10 or 11 at night. Nobody was around, we thought. They were on there. And we kept meeting. I kept meeting this man face to face. And he had this grin on his face. And he'd look up, even though I was kind of like this. So if you look on your labyrinth, there's a couple of places where the path, even though you're on a different part of the path, you end up meeting face to face on the loop. On the loops. And I did that twice with him. The second time, he was like, put his arms out in a big welcome. It wasn't like, you have to run into my arms so I can hug you, weird, creepy stuff. It was more just, you know, you loved on this walk. There's a lot of bumps on the way in the world. And that's what we're here to do for one another. I am really stinky. I stink at receiving those hugs, especially when I'm really hurting. I'm like a little child sometimes and I want to go. And the more I hurt, the more I just want to kick out and have a tantrum. So that was a message apparently I had to hear, not only this week, but today. I experienced such joy at this man's brave welcome to a stranger in need of a hug. And I'm going to tell you another silly but funny memory. Later that week, Stephanie and I were hanging out with this man and his wife and we were at an outdoor communion service, and they just had a way of pointing out things or seeing things that I was missing. Do you have people in your lives that are able to do that for you? It's a really cool thing when you do. And they were focused in over here, even though the Eucharist service was here, for a minute. So I turned my eyes to see, and it was a bunch of squirrels having a, like, their own little party, their own little celebration. And it was so joyous. It was almost like they were dancing. And I thought, that's a really great metaphor for what this church service is supposed to be about. Later back in New Orleans, we had a chance to bring a labyrinth to our church. So since we couldn't really afford to do it right away, and people didn't really understand it, so you know, you don't really want to just say, hey, let's buy a labyrinth, let's plan it, and all that sort of stuff. But we rented one, a large canvas, an indoor labyrinth. But you can put it outside if you can find a nice flat surface. So we put it outside because we wanted to see if the community would come, the community of the church, but also the community at large, as a prayer tool or just as a way of getting in touch with something you can't put into words but you know is out there, and that's God. And the congregation participated heartily. After a little bit of preparation on how to use it and why we even have it. And the purpose being to listen to God as prayer rather than always using your prayer life to talk to God and tell Him what you need. So it's a contemplative tool of communion with God. It's a seeking God's presence through letting go and getting still and knowing God. Sometime during this time frame, I had a dream that was, it really got my attention. Where I was in a large, dark church, and I was sitting up with the choir and the acolytes and ministers, and participating in the service. And then there was a hush, and I heard a loud voice, and the voice said to me, "Be still." I guess I really needed to have my attention nabbed. It really spoke to me as a pointer. I didn't know much about or understand why I was hearing that. But I went to my rector and tried to understand it with that person. And she said, you know what? Try being still for 20 minutes a day, and I'm going to get in touch with a friend, and she can talk to you about what that's like for her. A kind of silent communion with God. It was at a time when I was feeling overwhelmed. Contemplative practices like the labyrinth or being still and listening had been let go by the Western Church right around the Renaissance, I think. Before that, they were really prevalent. And they've had a kind of a rejuvenation in the last maybe, I don't exactly know how long, but at least 25 years or so. What I've read is that a lot of people who were raised in the Christian church during the last 25 or 30 years left and went to the Eastern church to look for those things, or to the East to look for meditation because they couldn't find it here. For me, the balance of both of these kind of more analytical approaches and reason, but also the contemplative, carving out a quiet space, is something that I think is a really good balance, and it can work for a lot of people. I know it works for me. Some people call it the most important half hour or 20 minutes of their day. Just time to listen and be still. What I've found, either at my silent prayer time or at the labyrinth, is that I usually don't hear something right then and there these days. That's a rarity. But God's voice bubbles up through my week, through some of you guys, through my family, through Pete, through my boys, maybe through a reading. Sometimes it's through a stranger. But it does bubble up. When our oldest walked the labyrinth when he was young, he found a certain center, like things had been out of balance and he was lost and now he was found. And it's funny because for kids, it's really different. They imagine things. They play at it. And for Ian, you go, I can't find my such and such. It's lost. And one time that happened, and we happened to be walking the labyrinth with our church the next day, and he spent, you know, a good long time looking for the darn thing, and so did we. And after that, he would find that whatever that object was. It was almost like, oh, got back into alignment again or something. Amazing grace. Last story, promise. In New Orleans, the labyrinth caught on in the community, and some groups got together and actually planted a labyrinth of liriope grass and crushed gravel or white pebbles. So the borders of the path were liriope, and then the white pebbles were the road. One night, I received a phone call from a friend who came to walk the labyrinth in Audubon Park. And she said, hey, a whole bunch of people, not just church people, a whole bunch of people want to get together and walk the labyrinth tonight. And I thought, wow, that sounds really, really great. So we got our family together, and we drove over there. And this walk included a family that was very close to us and still is. And their daughter at the time was a young teenager, and she had an undiagnosed mental illness, and it was starting to really show forth during that time. And they'd been through a lot trying to figure out and talk to doctors and do all sorts of stuff, and wasn't really helping. And we were all concerned and had been trying to help out however we could. That night we all got together and we walked the labyrinth, and we just sensed this amazing deep bond of communion with God and with each other, and it was like a hope renewed that things were going to be okay. And later that year, I remember riding in a car behind these same good friends. They had called us and said, we're taking our daughter to this mental health facility to put her in and to help figure this out, get her straight. She'd had another really bad bout and event, and they just needed a lot of support. And had barely gotten her in the car, and we're going. So we went over there, we followed along, and I just remember feeling like there was this caravan of angels coming with us along this road. This could have been a really dark, awful road, and I'm sure it was for my friends, but at the same time, it was like there was a support there underneath it all for them. And we felt God's presence binding us together. I'm going to end now. And I'm going to thank you guys for listening, because I know sometimes it's really hard to listen and not do anything. What I'd like to do is invite you to walk the labyrinth, but I don't really know when would be a good time for folks. But the one that we were saying off of Brook Road, bounded by Brook and Loxley, is easy to find if you're traveling 64 east and you get off at that first Laburnum exit and follow it to Brook. Take a right on Brook, go right past Union Seminary on your left, and make a right down in there, and you'll see the park on your left. And I could send around directions if anybody needs them, but I was going to pose this Thursday morning at 9:30. For some of us who can get there before work, some of us can't. It would be more like an evening walk or an afternoon walk, and I'd be glad to arrange it or organize it if you guys want. So we'll just talk to me afterwards and maybe we can come up with something. Yeah, it's a good thing for whole families and everybody else. Thank you guys so much.
Well, bye.